like a bunch of cycles. Hey guys, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. What's your new slogan?
I have to look it up. Live healthy longer.
There you go. Thank God. Live healthy longer. You put it up together. You got to remember for me.
Yeah, but I got to remember what I wrote.
Yeah,
I write a lot of stuff, man.
We do. You'll notice that sometimes. The more we do stuff like this, you'll see me sometimes on the show. I'm pulling paper and notepads on. I start taking notes. Because the problem is, you'll be doing stuff in the middle of the show, and you're going 100 miles an hour, and you think about something, it's a good idea, and then you get off the show, and you're like, I just went over, 47 different topics. What was that one idea that was really good?
Live longer. Live younger, longer.
There you go. Live younger, longer. I like that. And if you guys saw it, product of the week, purple powder. I guess that's what it's called now. It's not called purple sticks. Everybody come get it. It's not a purple stick, Austin. Not a problem. I'm like, okay.
It used to be a stick.
It used to be a stick. Apparently, I've been corrected now. It's a purple powder in a can. Well, I'm leaving it at that.
Well, I'm going to call it purple sticks. I know what that means.
I said purple sticks in a can. Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, it's on sale. First time I did it. We finally have enough inventory. We can fulfill as much as we need for the time being. We'll see how long that happens. And, great product. Give it a try. Give me a review. It's the long-standing purple sticks that we have in that formula, except a whole lot of it crammed into a can. You guys will notice when you open it up, I told them the amount. I was like, I'd want a lot. I'm like, I can't stand it. And sometimes you have to do it with certain cans because you got to get a huge scooper. This is a small scooper, though, so you can fit a lot of product in there without having to go with a huge can and have, half of it all air. Another side thing I want to cover, too, the collagen. I've had a lot of people asking me on dosage on this as far as personal usage for me. What I've been doing is one scoop in my GHI in the morning. I take another scoop in my Fit Food Shake right after exercise. Or if I'm not training that day, I'll take it in the evening before bed. Most of the people that I'm seeing right now that I'm getting reviews from on customers and friends is that, well, I guess they're kind of intertwined. Customers are my friends. I appreciate all you guys. I had a customer text me up yesterday. Great lady asked me about as far as being able to use a Visa gift card on the site. Shouldn't be a problem. Or if you need to, you can call us up and put it in there. We've never had any issues like that whatsoever. So if you have a American Express or a Visa gift card or prepaid card you want to use that somebody gave you, they should work just fine with our system. Like I said, if it glitches at all on the site for some odd reason, call us. We'll make it work for you and we'll have it back. But the collagen, I think a lot of people are so depleted in a lot of nutrients. And as we've talked about, as the glyphosate has ruined a lot of the gut lining and prevented proper absorption, I did an entire show yesterday on autism and health and all types of things that are affecting as far as overall brain functioning and a lot of its time back to the gut. And the fact that the collagen, this formula, helps reset the gut lining, I think most people need to be taking at least one scoop twice a day, at least for the first month. Obviously, depending on what you can budget in, up to three scoops a day total, as at least that first month, to really load it in and get your body loaded up, have your body as much collagen as it can use and continue to repair everything, and then you can taper back down the dose to one a day if you want. I'm going to stay at two a day right now on it for the time being and really get my joints back in healthy shape again. And the thing is, because of that, everybody's asked, I'm going to go ahead and put together a 3-pack on this and a 6-pack on this. That'll be a discounted kit that we always do. A lot of people like those 3-packs. That way, if you want to grab the stuff in bulk, or if you got you and your wife, your kids are using it and they're going through it and you want to stack up on it, you want to try to get a discount, you want to stay on top of it so you can continue to get those results from it. It's a lot easier when you can just do like 3 or 6 at a time. So I'll have that ready for you probably later on. This afternoon. So be sure to check it out. In the meantime, check out the purple sticks in a can. And that's pretty much all of my housekeeping for this morning at Health Masters.
Well, I've had my purple sticks today.
So have I.
I tell you what.
Let me ask you. A lot of people have asked me this. Mixing it up. I'm just going to do this because I've had multiple people ask me this. What do you mix the collagen in? This is one scoop of purple sticks. I actually just made it.
Would you like the spinner?
No, I'm doing a straight shake. I like my shakers.
That's a good thing because I can't find the spinner.
Just a little spinner thing anyways. You mix it in there. It dissolves and mixes pretty doggone quick. So you don't have to mix it in anything fancy. If you want to put it in a massive shake, you can. This is live, too, right now, so you guys know I've already done this multiple times. Make sure it works, and it does.
You're going to give me a heads up. I had the spinner available.
I don't need that. I put a lot of work into making sure these shakers are strong and don't
Well, the one thing about those shakers is they don't have a dead battery in them.
They don't have a dead battery in them. A lot electronic. Yeah. Nobody can shut it off remotely.
And they're a whole lot harder to lose than that spinner is, obviously.
So it mixes up in here. You're good to go. You can drink it up. It's not chunky. It's not clumpy whatsoever. That's the thing I like about it is it dissolves properly. So you can use it in anything you want. I had somebody that said they put it in oatmeal.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is the collagen that we had, you know, 2 or 3 months ago that we ran out of, great product.
Yeah.
This was better.
It is. You guys know I'm funny about that. If I have something that works good, I'm always trying to figure out if it can be better. Sometimes if it's not broke, you know, don't try and mess with it. But at the other times, when you start doing research, and I realize instead of just having the 2 collagen peptides, we need the 3 if you really want the skin health from it too, and they have a synergistic effect. And when it came to the gut lining, that's what really got me when I started understanding this research, because that research is fairly new. Over the last year or two, a lot more research has been done on the collagen peptides and what it does, not just for the joints and the ligaments and the hair and the skin and the nails and all that, but also with the gut lining. That's what really got my attention on it, why I started getting involved with it so much as far as getting these formulas together.
Well, the great formula. Oh, by the way, Tucker Carlson, he burns it down, boy. He told Trump he failed.
Tucker Carlson's been getting pretty
He apologized for endorsing Trump.
Really?
Hmm? Sorry. He slammed his former News colleague, Jewish fellow Mark Levin. I have to put that in, Jewish fellow. Why? Because he's still a staunch supporter of Israel, who has been one of the most vocal supporters of the Iran war, in which the U.S. and Israel launched on February 28th. In the week leading up to Trump's decision to bomb the country, Levin, who, by the way, I was on his show one time for like 10 seconds, and Carlson, apparently, he's very rude, by the way, separately visited the White House, where they lobbied for Trump and against the war, respectively. Carlson accused Levin of wanting to censor Americans who criticize the war, as well as the Israeli government for his role in lobbying Trump. It wasn't lobbying, it was forcing Trump to do it. Carlson then casually segued from talking about Levin to Trump without mentioning the president's name. He says, told the president, you hate people like that, Carlson said, and you don't care about the United States or about the people. And then another interesting tweet he put out was, why did neocons, now neocons are basically hardcore Democrat communists, mainly Jewish folks who are in Congress, not all Jews, though, who basically became Republicans under Ronald Reagan. And what they did, they infiltrated the Republican Party, bringing their neoconservative, their new conservatives.
New conservative, they're not.
Yeah, they're not. And he said, why do neocons consistently act against the interests of the United States? It's more than neglect. It's hate. Marjorie Taylor Greene saw it firsthand. And then so it was a very interesting article. I'll post it. Last week, Carlson apologized for endorsing Trump. You know, we'll be tormented for a long time, he said, while interviewing brother Buckley Carson, who blocked back the president. I will be. And I want to say I'm sorry for misleading people, and it was not intentional. That's all I'll say. Now, I'll say it this way, and I was very clear. I told you guys, you know, 2 years ago, I was not voting for President Trump. And I did not vote for the squawker either, the big mouth. I didn't vote for her either. I voted for somebody else. And I wrote somebody in, and people got mad at me. Says, you're wasting your vote. I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not voting for the lesser of two evils again. I'm not doing it. I will not do it. I refuse to do it. And because I did it with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump back in 2016. And that's because I really, really did not want Hillary Clinton anywhere near the White House because of her body count from Mena, Arkansas. I mean, they've got 100 dead people following them around.
Benghazi.
I mean, I don't want something like that in the White House. She's a Sabbatean witch. You know, she's going to go to a witch's coven every 6 weeks in California. I don't want her in the White House. And so I voted for her in 2016. And not for her. That's a big Freudian slip. I did not vote for her. I voted for Trump. But I did not vote for Trump in 2020. And I did not vote for Trump in 2024. And now Carlson is saying the same thing. And a lot of you guys criticized me for that. They said, well, you know, Kamala Harris, you don't want her in the White House. I said, oh, she's not going to win. Trump's going to win this one because it was already deemed to be so. Always remember that. This stuff at the highest levels is fixed. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. I mean, I think we've all realized that now. it turns into theater.
They wanted Joe Biden in there. They were finding all kinds of ballots at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have 20 million illegals come across the Darien Gap and through Mexico and everywhere else. And they needed to basically massively increase the population of the United States to make it more socialist, to bring these hardcore democratic, a lot of them communists, out of Central and South America. Remember, if a person's a communist and they really believe that mantra, they believe the government should be supporting them. They believe that they should be riding in the cart instead of pulling the cart. And a lot of these folks come in from Mexico and Central America, and they've been supported for so long, but they're supported in such a way that's horrible that they're living in garbage dumps. A lot of them were. So they come to the United States, and they think, oh, we have free money for this. This morning, I have a friend of mine. He's working on an irrigation pump. And I asked him where his friend was, who usually helps him. He goes, well, he doesn't work much. He's basically living with a woman. They've got like four children. They're not married. Now, listen to me. They're getting all the government subsidies they can because of the children and not being married, being a single mother. They get food stamps. They get subsidies. They get cash. He says he doesn't have to work. He just does stuff whenever he wants to. He said that's how they figured it out. This is a white boy. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or Hispanic. Once you hack that system like that, it's hard to come out of it. We have another girl who's a friend of ours. She had a child out of wedlock. And then she had another child out of wedlock. And then they decided to get married. And she told us, she said, it's very difficult to get married because I get so much money. You know what I'm talking about.
It is, yeah.
I get so much money every single month because I'm a single mother.
Yeah.
And see, until you stop that, you will never break that cycle. You know, if all of a sudden you don't support that, it was, well, that's terrible. You say don't support it. No, we've done this with the Great Society program from Lyndon Johnson, another communist and another Israeli supporter. I won't even go into that pervert. But the reality is that, you know, we've completely crushed the work ethic in the United States because of this.
It's the mindset that's a rot. It's a brain rot. I mean, taking somebody's concept, you're saying, well, I'm sorry you keep getting pregnant. We can't figure out how you keep getting pregnant.
You can work.
No, that's the concept. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry you've had four kids out of wedlock. You just let us know what you need and we'll continue to funnel you money. Why is that concept even something that goes along with the constitutional republic? And the answer is it doesn't. It's just it takes the responsibility off the citizens and basically says, I'm not responsible for my own actions. I can't be held responsible for anything I do. I need you to support me. I need you to take care of me. I need you to house, feed me, do everything for me because I'm not responsible for my actions. That, again, goes back to the communist mindset. Mm-hmm. The government takes care of me because it's their job to protect me, clothe me, house me. The problem is when you start allowing an entity to do all those things for you, they can also take it away from you. The concept, though, eludes everyone, and that's exactly why we're having all
this. I've told a story. I was on the airplane one time, and this lady, I won't give you the whole story. I've told you before, and this lady was a hardcore bleeding heart liberal. And she told me that I needed to be taxed at 90% so that I could support her and her son because they don't want to work.
Communist mindset, yeah.
And I looked at her. I said, why would I want to do that? I don't know you. She goes, oh, because it's what people like you do. If you have the ability to generate income, you need to support people who don't want to work. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, Austin. To this day, I sit there and I just shake my head that she really believed this. And finally, I told her, I said, I think we need to stop talking. I said, I'm getting really upset. I said, I don't want to deal with you.
Yes. You need to shut up. Both of us, stop talking.
Yeah, just like that crazy Uber driver.
Yeah.
I finally said, we're not talking anymore.
This is going to go nowhere. And a lot of this now, too, when we've seen it get worse, is because we have this participation trophy generation that's come up below us for the last 20 years, where, you know, you get kids that it doesn't matter how good one kid was in a certain aspect, say, you know, in karate or, you know, gymnastics. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a medal. And now kids go home with a barrage of medals in their last place and they didn't really do anything. Let me explain this to you. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody, you're not deserving of something because you just showed up and breathed air. Anything can do that. That's the concept that's ruined the younger generation. I've seen it so much with kids younger than me. It's because we can't call somebody fat anymore. Oh, I'm 100 pounds overweight and I'm morbidly obese. I'm just, you know, I've got a bigger body.
I'm expressing myself.
No, you're obese. You're causing severe cardiac problems. You're causing severe liver problems. You really need to get back in shape if you want to live longer. I can't be responsible for that. I'm going to go to the doctor and they're just going to give something to me to fix that. It's the same concept all across the board. I'm not responsible for anything that happens to me based on my actions, and I just deserve everything because I showed up. That mindset rots a country. That mindset rots a work ethic, and that mindset wrecks the health of a nation. It wrecks the mental health, the physical health, the spiritual health, all of it. And so that's why I've always been so adamant with kids. I get it. You need to build their self-esteem when they're younger. You do. You need to encourage them when they do something good. You need to praise them when they do something good. But also, too, if something goes wrong, say, hey, listen, man, you tried your best on that, but, you know, fourth place is fourth place. You did good. I'm still really proud of you. But first place just did it better. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it happens. I mean, I was in karate for a decade, in jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. I didn't win all the time. Sometimes you get knocked out. Sometimes you don't make it. I mean, I got fourth in the U.S. Open. Lucky for me, I didn't make it up to third.
And fourth in the
third, got his arm broken by the guy that I was going up against next.
World international competition.
Yeah. Big old German boy. Big for 14.
He wasn't 14, like 18.
But no, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I walked out of there. I knew I fought as hard as I could, as fast as I could. And I was like, dude, I took fourth, and I was stoked about it. But if they came in and said, oh, all of you guys, you all get a participation first place trophy to all of us, I would have been like, okay. But what about first place? He'd been like, why am I even here?
I remember when I was in the U.S. Open, I got my ribs cracked.
It's the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
If you want to compete in the U.S. Open, you better harden up. Nobody's coming to save you.
I did it once after I cut my ribs. I'm not doing this
again. Well, that's the concept, though. If everybody went in and said, oh, we're all going to love tap each other. Oh, I got first place, too. Everybody be like, this is the gayest thing that's ever happened. What is this? This isn't fighting. This is nothing. You guys are just walking around tapping each other and everybody gets first place. So I digress. This is a good article I want to cover here. I'm doing more research on it to make sure we didn't get basically sucker punched in the back. Justice Department officials, they came back and they rolled back 34 ATF changes that the Biden administration put in.
Good.
Big ones.
Is that good?
So far, I'm trying to read through all these and see what they're going to do. And I don't have time to go through all of them today. The main ones, this was a big one. If you remember under Biden, they brought in a new rule that was called a gun show loophole, which meaning if you sold more than like two guns and you were unlicensed. So if I wanted to go to a gun show and just sell a private gun, which I can legally do, ATF can come in and say, well, you've sold three guns now. You're now a dealer. You have to get licensed or else we're going to basically arrest you for felony gun trafficking. This is what they said. That's completely dissolved now. That's been repealed. The other one, the SBR braces, the stocks that were going on that are braces, but they're kind of like stocks. I'm not going to get into it all if you guys have seen it. The braces, that whole thing's been dissolved now. Brace is a brace. Stock's a stock. Nobody cares. Do what you want. It's a rifle. Get over it. Third one, there's a big one. The entire aspect of what happened in 2017 with the Las Vegas shooting where the ATF came in unilaterally and said, we're redefining the definition of a machine gun that Congress ratified in 1934. We're redefining it. We're rewriting the law unilaterally to redefine a machine gun so we can get bump fire stocks into a category of a machine gun. Completely illegal. They went in under the Biden administration. That got pushed even harder in 2021. That entire thing from the very beginning now has been fully repealed. Done.
You're kidding.
ATF had absolutely no jurisdiction to do that, they said. Zero jurisdiction all the way back. We're appealing it. This doesn't even exist. ATF has no ability to go in and rewrite federal law that Congress ratified and change the verbiage of something that was done 80 years ago. So I'm getting through the list of a lot of these. So far, a lot of them are really good. This stuff just needs to go away. A lot of people are mad because they're like, ATF just needs to be disbanded. It really does. I mean, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Well, it's a prohibition kind of thing, and it just doesn't need to be here.
It's stupid. I mean, the FBI can handle the aspects of it. First off, NFA, National Firearms Act from 1934, short-barreled rifles, suppressors. Suppressors need to be completely pulled off the registry. We got bamboozled on that with the BBB bill.
Well, that happened when the guy got shot at that baseball game. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but there's no tax stamps on them now, but that needs to be pulled out. I think there may be a possibility, reading some of this, that they're going to deregulate suppressors. It's going to be like a background check to get one.
Well, I've used suppressors before legally, and they're great.
I have some. I've got them. They're all tax stamped. They're all legal. They're fine. They're great. They're really nice to shoot outside.
What I like with them is if you're running a .45.
Yeah.
Okay. It just turns
pellet gun.
Yeah, it turns into a whisper. You don't have to even wear ear protection. It's great.
And that's what's stupid about the concept is what they did was they tried to justify that the basic mobsters were using suppressors on their machine guns in the 30s for basically, bank robberies.
Well, they were.
They were.
But that doesn't mean that we can't use them.
My favorite was when they had the sawed-off BAR, the fully automatic Browning automatic rifle, 30-06, box-fed, 25 magazine. They're chopping those down. Fully automatic 30-06. Incredible weapon. They're chopping them down, making them short-barreled rifles, machine gun 30-06. You want to talk about unbelievable firepower under a jacket. That was an intense rifle. And that's one of the reasons why they're like, we got to regulate these.
Well, tell the story about the guy on Iwo Jima who got the Congressional Medal of Honor when he picked up that. Was it an M60?
Oh, no. I forgot. I had the whole story. I wish I would have pulled it up. Well, no. It was when the Marines, we're talking about Iwo Jima, and he grabbed, it was one of the liquid, water-cooled machine guns they had back like the 1990 with the water-cooled chamber on it, and he ended up moving the gun. I wish you'd have told me. I would have pulled up his name and everything and give him the credence that he had.
We will. I'll pull him up
in a minute here. Yeah, basically ended up fully pushing forward into the entire, guys were just coming out of the ground in Iwo Jima. That was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, started mowing everybody down with it. Ended up burning his whole arm
off. Right to the bone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got massive wounds on it, and he ended up dying. So it was all basically after he died. But some of those guys, yeah, we had the conversation about Iwo Jima yesterday, and that was a brutal conflict. The fact that a lot of those Marines were all green, they were all young, they were right out of infantry
18,
school.
19 years old.
Yeah, they never expected to have that type of combat as far as that close.
The one guy said in the movie, Flags of Our Fathers, he said, you know, at the end, after all that was done, he goes, our commander let us go swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
And he says, we're all playing in the ocean. It was great. It was so weird that we'd just gone through all that and we got to go out and play in the ocean. And I thought, these are kids.
The ocean was calming. Yeah, they needed
them. They're just, you know, they were 18, 19, kids. 20.
They're out of infantry school, man. Yeah. They dropped them right off the boat. The problem is they carpet bombed that stupid island. They thought everybody was dead. It's volcanic islands. They had all these tunnels buried in it. It's like, all right, dropping you off. And I mean, it was just an absolute war of attrition, man. All they did was just stack bodies.
It's one of the reasons that they elected to drop the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean.
Because they said, we're going to have the body counts to be too high.
Well, no. It happens.
And plus, the United States was broke. They were having to sell war bombs to finances. Yeah. They were broke. And that war had crippled the United States financially, and they didn't want to continue with it.
On top of that, I mean, let's be real. That war wiped out an enormous portion of the extremely young, aggressive males in the United States from the 1900s.
Which was the goal.
I mean, it's stacking body image. I was like, dude, it's bodies. I mean, I think it lost 8,000, 9,000 Marines.
The Japanese lost like 20,000.
Yeah. I mean, they were burying tunnels.
This is the entire island. I mean, it's only 8 square miles.
It was all corpses. The whole island was bodies. It was horrible. Anyways, I don't want to get into all that. But gun show loophole, that's done. This whole thing, the more I find out about this, the more I'll give you guys. I know my Second Amendment guys and all the guys that follow me on this. I'll keep you posted on it with ATF because this is this is a big deal. I'm glad they finally did something. Now, my only question about this, I thought about this. They've had an enormous amount of time to do this. Is it slightly odd, or am I just being paranoid, that they choose to do this right now in the middle of all this stuff with Iran, Israel, all this stuff to kind of, say, pacify the Second Amendment supporters? Well, we got to win, which we did, but now everybody's going, well, look what Trump's doing now. Look how this good stuff he's doing for the Second Amendment.
It's buffering.
Yeah.
It's what they always do.
They've had over a year now almost to do this.
Well, we're never going to see another Epstein file because he's the Attorney General now. It'll never happen again.
No, you saw that with that interview. I showed you guys the video. Yeah. I mean, the level of gaslighting. I mean, he was incredible psychological manipulator.
Great attorney.
The Attorney General. He was a great attorney. Can't stand the guy. But the way he answered that question, you can go back and listen to the show. One of the guys in the interview asked him, are we going to see any type of arrest or convictions for all the men that abused girls with Jeffrey Epstein that we saw in the emails? And he goes, men that abused girls? You've baked some question into your question. What are you talking about? And the guy goes, well, the women that were abused, the girls who were abused by the men in emails. When have we ever said that this was going to happen? What are you talking about? When did this happen?
Yeah, no, it was really great.
I mean,
from a psych standpoint,
I get it. But, man, I mean, it was A-plus gaslighting manipulation at its finest. And I was like, gosh, we're never seeing anything with that.
Well, I've got a humorous story here, a mental candy story.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, we got to get
I'm in a mood today.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Emily Blunt, you know, she's got a weird name, Blunt.
She's the one on, what movie was Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, she was on the one. She was the one that was on that Tom Cruise movie when they kept going back in time. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow. That's a wild movie.
She was also on Sicario.
That was her.
Yeah.
She played a good role in that part. She buffered that movie down.
That movie was great. And in the reality.
Movie says a lot.
Emily Blunt's a phenomenal actress.
And she did good in that film.
She's worth about $80 million. She's one of the highest paid actresses in Hollywood.
Really?
And she's worth it, too, because she's a really good actress. And now she has sparked a backlash by telling fans that money is not the key to finding happiness in their careers. And you know what? I'm going to say something to you. She's right.
Be careful of what you become in pursuit of what you want.
I had a friend of mine, and it was Jim Burke, and I was young, and he was old, and he was talking to me one day. He goes, "You can't work for money."
Yeah.
And I said, "What is wrong with you? You know, I'm trying to make a car payment." He goes, "No, you don't understand. It's not what you think I'm saying." He says, "You've got to find a career or a profession in which you feel fulfilled, and then you work, and the money will come to you." He said, "But the reality is, if all you're doing is working for money because you're broke and you're miserable in your job or your profession, you're never going to find happiness." And that's basically what she said. But they got really mad at her because she said that. A lot of people said, "Well, you don't understand. You could say that you're worth $80 million, blah, 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 blah." And I'm not saying that she should have said it the way she said it, but I will say that she is correct in that you have a situation with a lot of people. They go to college. And I have a friend of mine. Became a banker. Very successful man. Hates his job. He told me years ago, "I wish I'd have done what you did. I wish I'd have gotten the health and the fitness and nutrition." And I said, "Well, I'd love what I do." I remember I had a lady years ago. She asked me, she goes, "If you could do anything that you could do, anything in the world, what would you do?" I said, "Do exactly what I'm doing." I said, "I feel like I'm right in the middle of God's perfect will for my life. I love what I do. I love doing the podcast with Austin. I love talking about Jesus. I love telling the people the truth about what's really going on in the world. I really feel that I'm being fulfilled." And, you know, the sad part about that is, how many people do you know? They work 40 hours in a job for 40 years. They are miserable their entire lives. They retire at 65. They get sick and they die. And they spent their entire life chasing the dollar and find out when they die that there was nothing that they ever achieved that brought them any type of happiness or joy. And, you know, it's the righteous peace and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that gives you peace and tranquility. Happiness is based on happenings. You buy a new car, you're happy for the day. And I guarantee you that some cars out there will make you smile if you get to drive around. But you drive it around for 2 or 3 months, you go, "Well, that's okay. That's a car now." Same thing is true, you know, with jobs sometimes. You like them for a few months. You start thinking, "Well, this is not exactly what I want to do." So always work at something that you love doing. This isn't a practice session, by the way. This is the real thing. It's called your life. And you've got to do what you like to do. But well, yeah, but she's worth a lot of money, and she was saying that now they're criticizing her. "We're trying to pay our bills and pay our utility bill." And that's all very real and very true. But she's saying that, hey, look, there are a lot of people that are worth a lot of money, and they ain't happy.
It's very true. I didn't make a Fit Food. I didn't get my eggs this morning. I had to chug that second purple stick at college.
Where did you find the Fit Food? Was it by you? I tried to find it and say, I got up and wandered in the kitchen. I had to drink.
It's hidden. I can't leave it around you. It disappears.
It does.
Hey, you want some? It's here. Hey, I got another one, too, if you want them.
I'm looking for the chocolate one.
There's chocolate and vanilla. Pick your poison on that one.
Not poison.
I should have. That's a bad analogy.
That's terrible.
Pick your flavor on that one.
Pick the high quality of supplement in the world when you pick these
pick
things.
Pick your protein.
But anyhow.
I want to add on that, though, too, because that's a valid topic. This is something, too, be careful of. A lot of times when you're younger, you'll get involved in things, and I've known people that have done this. They get involved in things they shouldn't get involved in to make money faster, make money quicker. And a lot of times, fast money and bad money,
this is twitchy, yeah,
it will ruin you. And be careful what you become in pursuit of what you want, because I've known people over the years that have made a lot of money doing nefarious things, a lot of money. And they may enjoy certain things, but there is no peace. There is no fulfillment on it. Everybody's constantly trying to make sure somebody doesn't get killed or somebody doesn't go to jail. And there's certain things you just need to stay away from. They sound cool at the beginning. They look cool. And then you start realizing they're not happy. Look at a lot of these movie stars, these kids, these pop stars that end up selling their soul. Mm-hmm. They're unbelievably rich, wealthy, hundreds of millions of dollars. But what if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul?
That's what Jesus said. Yeah.
What's the point?
What does it profit of a man to gain the world and lose his soul?
Guess what? We all go in a casket by ourselves. Never seen, I guess the Egyptians, they try to bury all their money with
them. Well, they say nobody gets out of here alive?
No.
I mean, but the reality, here's what I'm going to give you a little message of hope, though. You leave the body, but you don't die.
Exactly right.
But the body doesn't get out of here, you'll say that.
It's funny, though, because we see, look, these pharaohs. They're all in the satanic world. They thought they were something else. They thought they were big, you know, big
gods.
Yeah. They had these pyramids erected to them. They were buried in the middle because they thought they were going to live forever. And what happens? We come around about 1,000 years later. Oh, look, there's a pyramid. Let's ransack it. We go inside, pull their body out, take all their gold, put it in museums. And guess what? They're what other side they choose to be on. Don't think they went to the heaven side. I don't think they were really big onto that. They were a lot in the sacrificial stuff. But again, so be careful what you become and pursue what you want.
Well, you know, the same thing is true. I mean, people choose that world, you know, prestige and all this money, and what do they do? They basically they believe the lie. They believe that they're going to be happy, and they're gonna, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. His life, I mean, he's worth a lot of money. He's worth probably $1 billion. But the problem is that look what he's done. Look at his life and what he's been castigated from his own family. I mean, you can't say he's happy. He's probably one of the most recognizable people in the world. But the reality is that his life is not coming. It's coming to an end. He doesn't look very good at all anymore. And the sad part about it is you have to ask yourself a question. You know, was it really worth it? Well, the compromise that he did and all the people that he was involved with, was it really worth it? And Austin said something a second ago, and I'll repeat it to you. Be careful of what you become in pursuit of what you want. See, money, like my glasses here that I have to use still occasionally, they're a magnifying glass. And that's all money is. It's a magnifying glass. It makes you more of what you already are. So if you're inclined to be a philanthropist, you get more money with money. If you're inclined to be greedy and stingy, you're going to be more of a hoarder when you get more money. If you're inclined to use drugs, you get more money. You're going to use a lot of drugs. You know, Johnny Depp was drinking $10,000 bottles of wine, going through his hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable how much money he was spending on alcohol because he liked his wine. Now the money gave him the ability to do it because it magnified him. And if you're inclined to be a nice person, you become a really nice person with money. But the same is true. If you're inclined to be mean, you become really mean. You know, I remember that movie, The Mask, with Jim Carrey years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jim
Carrey. The mask just amplified everything.
Yeah. The one guy, the bad guy who got the mask, he was a nightmare.
Gosh, nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but because it just made him more, gave him the ability to do whatever he wanted to do. That's what money does to you. And people say, well, I'd like to have a chance to try that sometime. I have more money than I know what to do with. Well, great. But it won't make you happy because happiness is based on happenings. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit, the righteous peace and joy that comes from that, that brings you the peace and the joy. And that's the true sign of happiness. If you want to call it happiness, I just call it righteous peace and joy, because without God in your life and without Jesus in your life, you're going to be just empty. You're going to be really, really empty. You're not going to understand how to have that fulfillment without Christ. That's why so many of these rich people commit suicide, Austin.
Yeah.
Because they don't have it. They're so unhappy. They're miserable. And you know, they have another girlfriend or this or that. They constantly go through the world changing out what they have because they're trying to look for that elusive happiness. Problem is, most of them never find it because they don't have Christ.
You're right. Speaking of eluding, the FDA is now basically, there's some documents that are coming out that are really showing the FDA for what they are. Senator Ron Johnson revealed the Biden-era federal health officials and the FDA refused to use the state-of-the-art statistic tool for detecting COVID vaccination signals and VAERS and deaths, and ignored every aspect and tool they had available, even though they knew the tool that they were currently using was broken, and it failed to pick up safety signals, including sudden cardiac death. Remember, we told you guys when this was going on, they were lying to everybody. We told you they were manipulating everybody. And the report now says, unmasked, how Biden health officials purposely turned a blind eye towards COVID vaccine safety signals, including emails from the FDA officials who told FDA researchers to cease and desist using the updated tool to analyze COVID-19 vaccine injury reports and VAERS. They sent them a cease and desist, guys. Don't. You're not allowed to use this tool. You cannot use the upgraded tool that basically picks up on more issues that's going on. Because remember what's going on? People reporting VAERS. And then they're ignoring it. They're saying, oh, those aren't accurate. Those are self-reports. Those aren't accurate at all. Those aren't right. And then we start seeing more and more accounts, more and more people injured, more and more cardiac issues, more and more hospitalizations after people get the shot. Oh, ignore it. Saw the VAERS numbers going through the roof. Apparently, the FDA knew as early as 2020 that the method they were using was inferior and didn't work. The FDA medical official and safety data mining developer who worked on the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation Research repeatedly tried to get FDA officials to switch to the new tool that had already been developed way before COVID. Schwartzman wanted the agency to use the updated empirical Bayesian data mining method that was capable of accounting for masking. Masking occurs when the presence of other vaccines in the system hides safety signals for a specific vaccine. This is crazy. Roughly 25 statistically significant COVID-19 vaccine safety signals were discovered using this program that he had, including cardiac death. He said the emails released today show that in 2021, FDA senior officials attempt to stop Schwarzman from sharing results of the new method system that they were using. The emails also revealed the FDA leaders insisted on using the older method, even though they knew it was not counting all the COVID-19 vaccine deaths. And now this is going viral, and I hope it gets viral. It says Johnson obtained the emails after he subpoenaed the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services now on the vaccine safety records. And we're finding out now the FDA knew this stuff was having enormously more health problems, and they sent a cease and desist to Swartzman, told him that the program he was using was not allowed to be used to analyze the data.
Well, it's because of what happened with Fauci. I mean, yep, Fauci exactly was lying and lying and lying with Biden. And don't get me wrong, Fauci and Biden really had no interaction as far as this. Fauci basically was, you know, just a front man, a spokesperson, a mouthpiece, so to speak, for the powers that be from the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry. I mean, here's a picture of Fauci with one of his researchers looking at a bat. Total lie. You think of a bat.
It's a staged photo.
In fact, yeah, top Fauci advisors have now been indicted for concealing records in the COVID oranges probe. How about that? Because he didn't get a pardon from Biden. Remember, Biden got pardoned. I mean, Fauci got pardoned. The Department of Justice finally taken formal action against one of the key figures in the federal government's handling of the cover-up of the COVID-19 pandemic. David Morins, a longtime senior advisor to Anthony Fauci, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was indicted Tuesday, Austin, on charges including conspiracy against the United States, destruction and falsification of records, concealment of records, and aiding and abetting. The development marks a significant step towards restoring public trust eroded by years of evasions and lies and deletions and apparent efforts to shield inconvenient truth about the COVID's poisonous side effects. For too long, America's watched as officials in positions of immense power treated transparency as optional and the public's right to know as an inconvenience to be maneuvered. Morins, who's 78 years old, served as Fauci's senior advisor from 2006 to 2022, a long time, 16 years. House investigations long ago uncovered troubling patterns in his conduct, the use of personal email accounts to evade freedom of information requests. How about that? Boasts about deleting records and coordination with outside allies to control the narrative of COVID's beginnings. Once what was once dismissed by media legacy institutional defenders as partisan nitpicking conspiracy theory now carries the weight of federal criminal charges. Here's the quote. These allegations represent a profound abuse of trust at a time when American people needed it most during the height of the pandemic. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said in a statement, as alleged in the indictment, Dr. Morins and his co-conspirators deliberately concealed information and falsified records ties in, which Austin just said, in an effort to suppress alternative theories regarding the origins of COVID-19. Government officials have a solemn duty to provide honest, well-grounded facts and advice in service of the public of interest, not to advance their own personal or ideological agendas. You have to ask yourself a question with all these guys. What's in their Swiss bank accounts?
There you go.
Who funded the Swiss accounts? You know, there's a real problem here. This thing is so corrupt. It's rotten to the core, Austin.
Well, the issue is when you start realizing, I said this from the beginning, you guys can roll back the show and quote me on it. I said, when you start having this level of money injected from all these areas, the level of corruption knows no bounds.
Greed.
I mean, $7 trillion we dumped in the markets all across the board, from hospitals to pharmaceutical companies to rebates to stimmy checks. I mean, the amount of cash was insane. It was I think it was probably the biggest blitzkrieg I've ever seen in U.S. history when it came to cash.
Me too.
We've never seen that much cash injected into a market that fast. And so everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon of COVID. That's why so many people went along with what was going on. That's why a lot of hospitals complied. The hospital directors were going, dude, we're getting $100,000 per, you know, death of COVID. But standard operating procedure, standard of care is put them on remdesivir as soon as they get in here. When their lungs collapse, when their liver gives out, then put them on a ventilator. And we had friends, close friends, die that exact scenario repeatedly. And the problem was the hospitals, they were told, this is standard care. This is how you have to treat COVID. Fauci's the one who approved that. Fauci absolutely needs to be tried for crimes against humanity. If it's convicted, he needs to get the death penalty. That's a staunch stance, but that is not a joke. What he did and how he did it to the American population, and the fact that he's walking around not in shackles right now, considering some people go to prison for minute things that didn't even matter, and this guy's over here basically running around what he did, shows you the level of corruption. That's when people ask me, what do you think? You think the government's lying to us about this? Really? You know, I had an email yesterday from some buffoon, and he basically was trying to defend that the U.S. government doesn't have an enormous amount of pedophiles in it. I just deleted it. I'm like, dude, really? This is an anonymous email. I get crazy emails like that sometimes. People just run their mouths. Oh, the government's full of pedophiles. Yeah, no, duh. Go read through the 2-3 million Epstein emails. It tied into everybody. What do you think Mossad was doing with Epstein? is blackmail. I have so many DOD contractors that I know and contacts in law enforcement, everybody that have seen and been involved in certain things that they never even want to talk about. But I know when I talk to them about it, because it's me, I'm like, this thing just gets down a deeper, darker rabbit hole. And I mean, then you have dual Israeli citizens. Let me make this really clear to everybody. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care if you're German. You're from Deutschland. You're from the motherland. And you're in the United States as a dual German-American citizen, and you're running for Congress. That is not okay with me. Nobody needs to be a dual citizen at all in the United States government. Congress is very clear about that. The United States Constitution is very clear about that, that your sole purpose is a government by the people, for the people. If you're a dual citizen and you can fly back and forth to another country and you have two passports, how in the world do we know where your loyalty is for the people of which country? Which country? By the people, for the people. It's supposed to be our country. The United States of America is built on a constitutional republic. You're dual citizen. Which one is it? You obviously are split in the middle, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You're riding the fence. Pick a passport and go to that country and support it. Don't sit there and go back and forth. So that concept, but that's always the Zionists that want to, oh, it's okay. They still have the United States in mind. Really? Really? Okay. Then renounce your Israeli passport. Turn it in. Turn it in. You're 100% American. Well,
they want to have a passport with a non-extradition
that's
country.
That's exactly right.
It's made for a bunch of criminals. What it was made for,
anyways.
That's the yeah. I mean,
yeah. They don't even go together with a republic.
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu, he's still trying to get pardoned over there. I mean, for all the crazy stuff he's.
Oh, okay. Half the country's basically got arrest warrants for him.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is Tel Aviv got nailed from this whole war they had because Iran didn't want to play any games. By the way, the U.S. military, this is an interesting article. Was losing its edge after Iran. Everybody knows it. Remember when Barack Obama, Austin, fired all of those top generals and colonels in the military?
Oh, yeah.
Because they were not loyal to him. They were loyal to the United States. On paper, the war in Iran should not be much of a contest. The United States spends $1.5 trillion on the military every year. That's 100 times more than Iran. 100 times. That money buys a vastly larger Air Force, Navy, as well as advanced weapons and technologies. But the war's early days, the mismatch played out as one might expect. America's forces destroyed much of the Iranian military. However, Iran has a decentralized military. And now the context looks less one-sided. Iran has taken the control of the Strait of Hormuz, and its missiles and drones still threaten American allies in the region. And so many military bases were destroyed or damaged. While President Trump seems eager for negotiated truce, Iran doesn't care. Somehow the weaker nation is a stronger in a negotiating position. The reality exposes the vulnerabilities in the American way of war. Tactical success has not yielded victory. We saw the same thing in Vietnam. We bombed them into oblivion. We bombed Vietnam back into the Stone Age and we left defeated. We bombed Afghanistan into the Stone Age and we left defeated. Mr. Trump's recklessness in conducting war is one reason, but the problem is bigger than any single commander-in-chief of the United States has left itself unprepared for war. America spent hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars on ships and planes that are good at defeating competitor ships and planes, but ineffective against cheaper mass-produced weapons. It's called the Kalashnikov.
Or the $30,000 drones that run in front of basically the missiles.
The American economy does not have the industrial capacity to produce enough weapons. That's why it takes 4 years to make a Tomahawk missile. And the country has struggled to fix the problem because of the government and consolidated defense industry that resists change because they want to keep all the money to themselves. And 3 months before Mr. Trump attacked Iran, we warned that the United States was at risk of being overmatched in the wars of the future. The last 2 months have shown that the alarm was justified, the war in Iran unwise, as it should serve as a warning about the rising threats to America. Now, I'm going to give you a background here. Now, I'm not going to basically read any more of this article. You can read it yourself. It's from the New York Times, so it's a liberal rag, but it's still got some good points in it. Now, what's interesting is this. When Germany attacked Russia, right? And they basically went into Russia. They did it in the summertime. They should have done it in the springtime. And then the Russian winter hit them. And they got bogged down. They had the supply chains break down. And I believe the Russians had a tank they were producing, mass producing, because the United States was paying for that, by the way. And what ended up happening is they could produce these tanks that had the angled armor, which is the stuff would deflect off of them, unbelievably fast. And they overran Germany with their Panzer tanks and their Tiger tanks. They couldn't produce them. They were so technologically advanced, they kept breaking down. It's like the BMW navigation system from the pit of the perdition. It's awful. Okay, I had it in Germany when I was over this a few weeks ago. You couldn't find anything.
Sometimes the Germans make stuff that's too complex, dude.
No,
it's sometimes just needlessly complex.
Worst navigation ever. I mean, my Silverado's got better navigation, and it was crazy. And that's what happened with the Germans. They couldn't produce these advanced technology weapons fast enough, and Russia just overwhelmed them with these tanks. And I think they were called the T-38s, but I think
what happened too. This was the funny, like, ironic story. You know, you saw a couple weeks ago. Trump came out and he said, I'm going to start basically having Ford change their plants over and GM change their plants over. We're going to start making weapons and munitions. First off, I don't know if he's just that uneducated or if he really thinks that he's like, I don't know, playing this God role and he could just deem it so. Ford doesn't produce anything anymore other than stuff that's already been pre-built on assembly line. The reason why Ford went in and they started making, 8,600 consolidated, B-24 bombers during World War II at the Willow Run plant in Michigan is because they had all their own ability to manufacture machine parts. Mm-hmm. They could do anything they wanted from the very beginning when Henry Ford started. They would take sand and make their own windshields out of it. They'd take rubber trees and make their own tires out of it. Then they started going in and subbing out other companies in Michigan build parts for the machine parts. So when they had to convert the plant over, they were building a B-24 bomber an average of 63 minutes. One entire plane, B-54, in 63 minutes. They converted the entire plant. You can't do that at the new facilities. They spent $2 billion on the F-150 Lightning electric facility. Now they're trying to convert it back to regular F-150. They can't even go back to gas F-150s without spending another $20 million to reconvert the whole plant back.
Well, you know what?
So you can't just go in and say, oh, by the way, that F-250 plant, you guys need to make F-35s now. Are you joking me? Are you joking me? Oh, you guys need to make Tomahawk missiles. Really? With what? You don't know how much money and time it would take to convert a facility like that to start producing those?
Let me talk about Porsche. Porsche. Porsche about bankrupted themselves with their Taycan.
The Taycan.
Whatever they call it. The all-electric car. $200,000 a year later, it's worth $60,000. Nobody wants them. My friend told me, when people show up and want to trade, all the sales guys run away.
Scatter.
Because they know that they're not going to sell anything.
I got to take lunch break. Got to go.
Because they don't want to. Because they're going to. You know, it's so funny. When you go to a car dealership, they need to be happy to see you. Okay, go there knowing exactly what you want, exactly what you want to pay, exactly what you're willing to pay.
Do your research first.
Don't go over there. And I was talking to a friend of mine at the Mercedes dealership the other day, and he said a guy came in and they wanted this car, but they live in Colorado part time, and it had Z-rated tires on it, and they couldn't use them in Colorado.
Yeah.
Well, he thought the dealership was trying to upgrade him on purpose with the Z-rated tires. The guy was buying the car, and he was angry that they had Z-rated tires on it. And the problem is, they're real big tires, so you couldn't find anything besides Z-rated tires for this vehicle that he wanted to buy. And he goes, "We're not trying to bamboozle you. This is all that comes on this car. It fits it. It goes under the fender.
If you want to buy another set of turret tires and wheels, you can.
Yeah.
We can get them for you. Like, no, we want them included in the deal. They don't come in the deal. They don't make the car ever with these tires.
Well, he sat there almost 8 hours with these people,
and they would not listen.
And finally, he said, like when we go to the Chevrolet dealership and we're going to get a Silverado, I know what I'm going to pay for it. I know what I'm willing to pay for it. I know what my truck is worth. I know the opposite one. And I don't want the tire protection package. I don't want the insurance extended covers. I don't want that stuff. And I'll tell them, I don't want any add-ons at all. Period.
If you want, here's a little hack. If you're wanting something that's got an extended warranty on it, look for certified pre-owned Chevy or Ford or whatever you're looking at. Usually what happens is, so if a vehicle's bought brand new, it's got a factory warranty on it, right? Full factory warranty. When that vehicle's traded back into the dealership, if it's basically the first owner on it and the vehicle's with an X amount of miles, the dealer will do what's called a certified pre-owned through the factory dealership.
100,000 mile
warranty. Meaning it'll go to 100,000 miles. So if your Tahoe's a year old, you let the first person take the $10,000, $15,000 depreciation hit on it. The dealer takes it. They certify pre-owned it. Now that Tahoe's got a 100,000 mile warranty. It's like $2,000 for the certified pre-owned. Now, if you want to keep the vehicle for a long time and put miles up on it, you can. A lot of these aftermarket warranties that they try to sell you on these things are a giant pain in the butt.
They're scams.
They're scams. Some of them,
almost all of them, the scams. 90% bankruptcy.
Yes, 90% of the people I know that get them, they end up being a nightmare. They try to say, this is a wear item. How's a fuel pump a wear item? The thing's only 3 years old, 4 years old. What's a wear item? Oh, the DPF system? That system? That's also an emissions wear item. We're not covering the $8,000. And you're like, well, I thought it's covered. Well, it's not a full factory warranty. It's an aftermarket warranty. And so you end up still paying enormous amounts of money. Be careful of those aftermarket warranties, man.
Oh, by the way, the tank was called a T-34, not T-38, and a Soviet medium tank from World War II. It had a 7.6-23mm 3-inch tank gun, more powerful than many of its contemporaries, and a 60-degree sloped armor, which provided good protection against anti-tank weapons. It bounced off. The T-38 had a profound effect on the conflict in the Eastern Front in Germany and a long-lasting impact on tank design. The tank was praised by German generals when encountered during Operation Barbarossa. Although its armor and armament were surpassed later in the war, its main strength was the cost and production time.
Yeah.
Meaning that the German panzer forces would often fight against Soviet tank forces several times their own size. The T-38 was also a critical part of the mechanized divisions that formed the backbone of the deep battle strategy. The panzers and the Tiger tanks broke down constantly.
Yeah.
The T-30, plus they're so heavy. The T-34 was the mainstay of the Soviet army, produced by the United States, by the way, and paid for us through our war bonds, and basically bankrupted the United States so we could support Soviet Union and communism and Stalin and his 33-degree Masonic garbage that he had going on over there and his 100 million dead. Its general specifications remained nearly unchanged until early 1944 when we received a firepower upgrade with the introduction of the greatly improved T-34-85 variant. Its production method was continuously refined and rationalized to meet the needs of the Eastern Front, making the T-34 quicker and cheaper to produce. The Soviets built over 80,000 of these, Austin. That's how they won World War II.
Yep.
And its variants allowing steady greater numbers to be they lost tens of thousands of combat just could get running off the replacement line. Many light and medium tanks in the Red Army service. It was the most produced tank of the war, as well as the second most produced tank of all time. With 44,000 lost or damaged during the war, it also suffered the most tank losses ever. It's because there were so many of them. This development led directly to the T-44 and all this other stuff. You can read the rest of this stuff. I'll go ahead and post this for you. But the reality is, that's exactly what they're talking about with the United States right now. The war, with these super expensive missiles and stuff that we have, you can't win a war like that because, quite frankly, they can produce so much of the cheap stuff and the drones so much quicker. And so they overwhelm our defenses. You said if you have a $100 million missile and you blow it up and they stop it with a $30,000 drone, that's asymmetrical warfare in reverse. It is. I mean, so all of a sudden now here we are, we're basically licking our wounds and with our tail between our legs, running away from Iran, and we don't know what to do. And so now the next step we're going to be, we're going to throw 100,000 ground troops on the ground.
I hope not.
I hope not, man. You talk about a meat grinder. It's going to be unbelievable what they're going to do to the population of the military of the United States if they run them through that meat grinder in Iran.
No reason to. Another study that came out now. This is interesting.
Oh, by the way, we threw all those troops into Afghanistan. It still didn't work.
No. Well, a lot of Afghanistan, the conflict over there was to maintain the opium production to the poppy fields.
From the CIA. Read the book, The Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance with the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia.
Yeah. Talk to some contractors. They'll tell you exactly what we did over there. New study comes out looking at brain damage of kids, basically used light brain damage from screen usage. They went and they did a study now. They did MRI studies. So this should shock every parent. MRI study on young kids exposed everything. They scanned the brains of 60 children ages 3 to 5 and found interactive screen time is causing measurable loss of white matter in developing brains. Even 2 hours a day is linked to impaired neural connectivity, language, and literacy development. Professor Mike Nagel, neuroscientist, said his first reaction was simply, wow, I did not anticipate seeing anything like that. We're physically changing children's brains before they even start school, and the damage is visible on the scans. This one actually unsettled me. I've always suspected too much screen time was bad, but seeing real white matter loss in toddlers hits different. This is why I've told you guys repeatedly, don't give young kids iPads and phones to basically distract themselves for long periods of time. If ever, guys, there's something you want to watch with a kid or a movie or they got in their school done, it's a Friday night and you have a movie time, that's fine, whatever. But every single day in and day out, giving them these pacifying tools that make them drool on themselves and just stare, the blue light, which is horrible, horrible for their basically eyesight development.
What's it going to do to their eyes long term?
Correct. We haven't even seen this study yet. What happens when we have children now that have basically been using screens since 1 year old? What happens when they start getting in their 20s? Because the relatively aspect of damage on screen times has not been really studied yet in that long term. And now we're seeing the brain. And so this is why I've told so many people, if you have a kid that's having some type of neurological issues or focus issues or ADHD issues, whatever it may be, look at that as a factor. See how much screen time they're using. See how much they're going outside and playing out in the sun. See how much they're digging a hole or having a Nerf war, basically doing anything other than staring at a screen. I know my son, Stetson, he's like 2.5 now. I mean, he has virtually zero screen time ever, his entire life. And the kid's, like, his imagination and his activity is off the charts. He's all over the place, constantly doing things all the time. And sometimes it's a lot.
You got to watch him in the house.
He just wants to see how everything works. There's a light bulb above the stove on top of the refrigerator somewhere. I'm going to get a ladder and go up there. I'll try to go just hanging off the fridge. Like, what are you doing? Ah! Jumps off, runs off. It's always, always running off all the time. The kid's fast. Barely catch him now already. And so I'm like, again, it's a lot raising kids. And I get it. Pacifying them with screens is so easy. Here's an iPad. Shut up. Sit down. I don't want to hear you talk. That's what you do, right? Let's be real. The only reason you give them screens is to shut them up. Nobody does it because you're excited to have them stare at a screen for 2 hours. Parents do it because you don't want to deal with them. You don't deal with them. Well, how about you encourage them to do things that allow their imagination to thrive, not putting poison in their brain, like whatever's on YouTube nowadays. I mean, YouTube's like, I don't even, whatever. I'll look at a car video or something on there. It's all they do is promote filth and they suppress truth now. It's bizarre. So again, my friends, watch what your kids are being exposed to, especially how much screen time. They are the younger generation, and what we do right now with them is going to determine how far, I should say it, humanity is going to go over the next couple decades. It really is. So I encourage you on that.
Oh, by the way, there's an admiral now who's saying that Atlantis is real and the aliens are already here.
Atlantis?
I mean, he's full-blown.
Atlantis,
full blown
is admiral. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. He said he basically talks to, his name's Timothy Gallaudet, and he's basically he's a man with serious credentials, an admiral. He's one of the most outspoken proponents of the idea that not only are UFOs real, but the government's hiding the truth about them. So we're being visited by some kind of higher order intelligence, and we don't understand why they're here. And it's happening often, frequently, and in our airspace, and our water, in our space. Wow. This is an admiral. This is all part of that soft disclosure that they're doing.
Look at the pyramids at the bottom of the ocean, east of the Bahamas. I mean, look at the underwater stuff we've seen. I've been scuba diving.
Don't you remember when Buzz Aldrin came back and he posted that article and said the most evil thing ever? They had a big pyramid down there in Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there. So he said, well, it didn't happen. Well, Buzz Aldrin was there. He was evacuated in Antarctica. He said was on his bucket list. Said he ran out of air and he started having problems with his heart and lungs. That was the cover story, I guess, but he could have been on oxygen.
I've tried to go on expeditions down to Antarctica. The best, farthest I can get is like Penguin Island. I've tried. I've known contractors, everybody else, saying, hey, is there a way to do an expedition down there? No. No, it doesn't happen. You got to be like full certified DOD approval with top secret clearance to be able to go on an expedition down there, actually into Antarctica, period. I'm not even on the list, and I'm still do DOD contracts. I can't even go down there because he's like, right, he's always wondered, why the heck were the Nazis so obsessed with Antarctica? It wasn't like Antarctica was next door. Like, hey, you know, Austria, you got Antarctica right there. Let's just go next door and hang out. Dude, Antarctica's a bit of a drive. It's a joke.
Bit of a ship drive
away from Germany, but yet they had an entire base down there, and then it was deserted. Well, why'd they even put it down there in the first place if they didn't want to find something? I mean, were they hunting penguins? Seems like a lot of work to go with penguins.
It's probably something they heard from the Vril maidens. But that doesn't mean anything about what we need to do right now, because right now all we need to do is keep our hearts and minds in Christ all the days of our life. Give me that camera, Rich. And we need to realize that we can do all things through Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. And don't allow fear to grab you.
That's a fact.
And the fear is the mind killer. It's no good. Always allow God's Holy Spirit to come into you. It'll bring you the righteous peace and joy that we mentioned earlier in the show through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is real. He's very, very real. And these entities on the other side of the veil, they know that, and they are scared to death of him. What do you think, Oz?
That's a fact. That's why I always try to encourage everybody on this show to do things that are beneficial, positive, and encouraging to your family, your friends. Continue to keep your head strong. Continue to keep your mind strong. If you guys need anything, we're here at Health Masters to give you guys the highest quality supplements. The thing is, when you feel good, you're feeling great, you're getting stuff done, your energy's good, and your health's good, you're way more productive, and you're way harder to control, too. So keep it up, my friends. Have an awesome evening. Check out the Purple Sticks on sale product of the week in a can. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
And remember, continue to pray for us. Thank you. We pray for you all the time. I pray for the altar all the time at church. And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And keep your kids off the iPads and the iPhones. Stop programming them with a world system like that. I appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And by the way, thanks for your support. It means the world to us.
Yes.